This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session is a message that was first published in the month of August of the year 2012, and it is being recorded in the month of November of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 21. And we will find these words recorded. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." The title for the message: The Gloves Are Coming Off. This is part 8 of an 11-part message. Now, when I ended part number 7, it was game on. Elijah had made the challenge. The people agreed that they would observe, and what became of it, and the prophets of Baal probably should have turned it down, but pride, power, and prestige were on the line. Essentially, Elijah had backed them into a corner. It was time to put up or shut up. As I mentioned earlier, the people seemed to be at a loss as to who to believe, in spite of the fact that it was God who delivered them from Egypt after sending all sorts of plagues against the Egyptians, while at the same time isolating them from those diseases and curses, it plagues and so forth. Then he parts the Red Sea for them to cross over on dry land, and destroying Pharaoh's army in it when they tried to pursue them. And yet, not long after that, when a little hardship came up, they start moaning and complaining about how they wish they were back in Egypt. And that is when Baal's prophets got to work on the people. In this particular situation, there is a famine in the land that has gone on for several years, due in large part because of the children of Israel's disobedience to God by following these prophets' directions. It is much like that today with this nation and the black community especially. For over four decades, this nation has been torn between standing on God's word and following the whims of mankind. Just about every type of new religion that comes to our attention, we have to try it out. What we use as an indicator of whether it is something we would like to involve ourselves in is how does it make us feel. You know, when dealing with God, there are times when we may have to be chastened because of something that we are doing, which is part of His plan for us to be able to be the best that we can be. This is why He tells us, do the same thing with our children. However, the prophets of Baal tell us that type of thing is cruel. It is child abuse and bullying. They have a better way, which is pleasing to all. All you have to do is follow them. Well, when you follow them, you are essentially walking out from under the umbrella of God's protection and blessing, much the same way as if in the midst of a rainstorm, you walk out from under the umbrella and you get wet. The umbrella was doing its job in protecting you, but you chose to go out from under it and you get wet. So whose fault is it that you got wet? The umbrella is still capable of doing its job, but you have discarded it. Well, with God, it is the same thing. God is still there providing blessing and protection to those that choose to obey Him, but you want to get away from His rules and do your own thing. Then, when things get bad, you want to blame Him for not keeping you from harm. When, in effect, you left Him. And the reason you left Him is because you have been misguided by spiritually blind preachers that are serving Baal, and they don't even know it. That's right. Practically everything that is wrong in this nation can and should be laid at the feet of preachers that have lost their way, if they ever have been in Christ, and are out there groping in spiritual darkness and resorting to carnal thinking to get them over. Listen, a carnally minded person is one that relies on common sense to make it in this life. Common sense equals carnal mind. And a carnal mind, as the Bible says, leads to death. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. The reason being, It is at war with God. Israel was suffering because they were at war with God, and this nation is suffering because it is at war with him. And to take it a step further, the black community is suffering because we are leading the war against him. And leading the black community are Baal's prophets. Now, as long as all they had to do was shoot off their mouths, make snappy phrases, and rhyme some words, come up with ideas that appealed to the masses, they were set. They thrived on the people's misery. Just like those psychics that I mentioned that seem to be absent when things are going good. They pop up just like a jack-in-the-box the minute a crisis hits. And all they do is help you stay in that condition so you will continue to follow their advice. But just how good is that advice? What kind of power is behind it? When it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, something is going to remain standing and something is going to fall. In this story, Elijah gives the prophets of Baal all the latitude that they could have wanted. He gave them their choice of the sacrifice to offer up to their gods, and he gave them the first crack at showing their God's power. All they had to do was produce. So they began their arduous procedures of calling on their gods by setting up the altar of sacrifice according to their God's direction. Now, the whole idea of offering up a sacrifice is the idea of showing God or gods your acknowledgement that you first are sorry for some wrong that you have done that has offended him or them. Secondly, you are offering him or them something that represents the very best that you have. All of this is done to garner his or their favor toward you. Now, so they put on the sacrifice and begin to call on Baal. All they want him to do is send down fire from heaven and burn up their sacrifice as proof he is able to do it. Well, as time passed with nothing happening, they resort to sacrificing their own blood by cutting themselves and throwing themselves on the altar to get him to prove himself. And even that doesn't work. Looking at this scene and comparing it to what we are experiencing today is an exact parallel. We call on psychics, we call on preachers, we call on government to give us solutions that we want to help us to either cope with or completely obliterate our problems. And as is the case, most of them want some money or maybe your vote. That's the sacrifice. You have to show them how much you believe in them. The more money you give or the more votes that you provide determines how much favor you have with or receive from them. The more, the better. There are some of us in this nation, and especially the black community, that have literally sacrificed every dime we have, our children's, grandchildren's, and great-grandchildren's future down the tube to achieve that ever elusive condition of peace, equality, and a level playing field, a sort of utopia or heaven on earth. The more they promise, the more we give. And when things don't change and get worse, we are told by them, you have to give more. You can't return to the failed policies of the past. The reason you are in this condition is because of them. Remember now, the prophets of Baal told the people the reason they were suffering in the wilderness was because they left Egypt, a type of hell, and that it was God that brought them out there so that they could be destroyed. These prophets had them yearning to go back to Egypt. In Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse number 4, starting at verse number 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Verse number 5, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." So now that God has delivered them, they essentially are telling him he isn't doing for them what they want him to do, and that is give them what they want. Well, God doesn't play that game, at least not without obedience to him. These people found themselves in this particular situation because of their continual defiance of God, just like we have today in this nation and the black community. One thing all of us needs to know is without God we are and have nothing. When we were slaves, we prayed to God for deliverance. And when it came, we rejoiced. Republicans from around the country, especially from the North, helped deliver us. I have to believe they were inspired to do so by God, much the same way Moses was sent by God to deliver his people from Egypt. Well, Israel turned against Moses, and the black community turned against Republicans, and essentially have returned to Egypt, or the plantation, under the control of their former masters, the Democrats. Getting back to our story, these prophets can't seem to arouse Baal, even when they start shedding their own blood to get him to answer them. For half a day, they are doing all types of things and yet no response. At one point, Elijah started mocking them. Maybe he is asleep. Maybe he is drunk. Maybe he is using the restroom. Maybe he is someplace where he can't hear you. I mean, Elijah got politically incorrect. Have you ever noticed that no matter what they promise you, if you vote them in office or follow their advice, things just never seem to be getting any better? And in a lot of instances, they actually get worse. Why is this? Because anyone or thing that is trying to accomplish something that God doesn't agree with is not going to be able to do it. It's just that simple. Sometimes he will let you succeed in something, but that will only be to let it destroy you later. If you will remember the story of Nimrod and how he decided he was going to build a tower that rose into heaven, at that particular time, everyone spoke the same language. As a result of that, all of them were of one accord and mind. God didn't like it. So what did he do? He made them not able to understand each other, and each group of people that could understand each other got together and formed their own nation. The unity between all mankind had been broken. More next month. Well, we're starting to see some of the actions that are taking place, and like I said, these are all parallels to what is happening in this nation today. But as I said, I get further more into this in the coming parts, and then when I finish, I'll make some closing comments. But hopefully you're getting the picture of where we're headed with this. So as usual, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, until we get together for another part of this message, may God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together again, good day.